Psalm chapter 2. Why are the nations in an uproar, and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed. Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury. But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell the decree of the Lord. He said to me, Thou art my son. Today I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will surely give thee nations as thine inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt shatter them like earthenware. Now therefore, O king, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence, and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, lest he become angry, and you shall perish in the way. For his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, as we start this day, we start with judgment, moving towards blessing, that according to 1 Corinthians 11, pertaining to the Lord's Supper, that if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged and condemned along with the world. And Father, therefore, we examine our hearts today. We renounce autonomy, self-determination, in order to be governed by your law word and to do so by faith. We work out our salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in us to will and to perform according to his good pleasure. Lord, I ask today, not only for myself, but all who hear me, that you would fill our hearts with revelation knowledge and our minds to be renewed according to your word, so that we can prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I ask for understanding and for wisdom to apply the knowledge and understanding to the details of life. I thank you, Lord, that in covenant with you, you have given us your name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to the podcast today of Renewing My Mind. And we are studying Ready for Battle. So let's go back again, read our foundational text from Deuteronomy 8, starting with verse 1. All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing forth in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land which you shall eat food without scarcity, and which you shall not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you shall dig copper. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes which I am commanding you today. Lest when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart becomes proud and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And it shall come about that if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. Ready for battle. Deuteronomy 8, I consider to be the key financial chapter in all of the Old Testament, and a parallel to Deuteronomy 8 in the New Testament would be Matthew 25 and Luke 19 on the parable of the talents. Both of them were testing. In Deuteronomy 8, it's a testing of a lack of resources, a lack of finances. In Matthew 25 and Luke 19, it's a testing of prosperity. So one is a testing of lack, the other is a testing of abundance or prosperity. We as believers in Jesus Christ are going to be tested both ways. God tests us with abundance. In fact, in the wilderness, we will find out that God not only tested them with hunger and thirst, he tested them with abundance as well. And again, the twofold purpose in the testing, number one was to humble us. By us, it doesn't mean just them. The Bible is covenant, which means it's representative. And that then in the humanistic state. And even those who think that they are conservative, many of them still send their children to the liberal, humanistic, status schools to educate their children, and in fact are socialists. Who is supplying the capital to educate their children? Their next door neighbor through property tax. Property tax is a theft. It is stealing. Everyone who votes for tax increases is a conspirator in theft. They're being defeated in their wilderness. They're cutting off the inheritance of their children to receive a godly inheritance. And they're cutting off their capital because socialism makes us all equally poor. Socialism destroyed Russia and the other nations that made up the Soviet Republic, the so-called Soviet Republic, the Soviet Union. It has destroyed every nation in history that has ever attempted communism and socialism. But the humanists and the existentialists despise history. That's why they replace history in school with social studies, to socialize your children, to make them good wards of the state. And it is the state that is making disciples of your children rather than you. Well, I send my children to public schools so that they will evangelize. Find it in the Bible. It's not there. You don't sin in order to evangelize. And you violated scripture after scripture that has to do with education. And one in particular is Jeremiah 10. Verse 2 says, don't learn the way of the heathen. And you train them in the way of the heathen. And Deuteronomy 6 says, you're to train your children in the law of God when you walk in the way with them, when you sit down with them. In other words, all the time. When you're going, when you're leaving, when you're at rest, all the time. But not at the public school. You have to deny Christ to go to a public school, because his name is not to be mentioned there. Why do you always come back to the public schools? Because it's the primary false religion of our day. The false religion is humanism. The church is public education. The priests of this education are the public school teachers. Well, what about Christian teachers? Yeah, they're the priests of a false religion. And they have other gods before them. Well, you know, my child evangelizes. After 12 years of public education, myself, not one time in my lifetime as a child, my public education lifetime, did anybody ever witness to me with the gospel. It's not happening. It didn't happen then. It's not happening now. Very seldom. Very rare. But the Bible doesn't tell us to just get people to pray a prayer with us. It says to make disciples of them, teaching them to keep my commandments. You cannot control who gets saved and who doesn't get saved. Your job is to make disciples, to discipline the nations. How can you discipline the nations when you are destroying the church by supporting public education, by supporting the enemies to Christ? It can't happen. But going back to the point, judgment comes before blessing. Chastisement is judgment. God chastises his children. He judges with death and destruction his enemies. Judgment comes finally at the judgment seat for everyone. But Christians deal with the death of Christ during their lifetime at the point of salvation and all through sanctification, should be on a daily basis. They deal with judgment. We are to judge ourselves so that we will not be judged and condemned with the world. The discipline and the judgment comes before the blessing comes.